Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggling.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the Queen of Trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
Monster. So this is America, huh?
Listen.
Come on. I told Braun, I like Piff and shit. Right state, I'm a law-abiding citizen. Living, raising my kid into one of y'all tripping in this cap. Oops, upside your head, Gilligan. Listen, telling I'm still in the ville with all my gorilla friends. I ain't trying to look like I'm winning, I'm trying to really win. Pretty chick convinced you to cross me over Benjamin. She could dime, but she's stupid. Simple 10, enough for the silly shit. I can really get militant, got a military, but not a million. Scratch that, holla babe bro, Mike Million. Left the big shit in the whip, but snuck the 9 million. It be spitting like blah, blah, like it's talking gibberish. In the event this shit gets serious, ignorant, really tripping. Give them the business, business trip with the shits.com. Go on, get your membership. And I'm a gentleman, sweet sentiments for my women friend. I don't give a shit if the pigs listening to me kicking this pistol shit. I ain't out here pissing on chicks and making no vids with kids. I ain't sneaking pills and no drinks and then sneaking dick and chicks. I ain't Weinsteining no bitches just trying to get in flicks. Then the pigs playing with this killer shit. Zimmerman, innocent, selling autograph packs of Skittles, bitch. Pastors, bishops, sick, they got witnesses. Miss me with your censorship. Make some sense of this shit for me. Help me get a grip. Till and train our women and kids with guns and extended clips. I said what I'm rambling, this ain't just penmanship. Sometimes I lose myself in anxious imminent. R.I.P. Breonna Taylor, that was some bullshit they did. Round the shot for all of them fucks like I'm feeling generous. Rest in peace to Breonna Taylor. Rest in peace. We gotta protect our women, y'all. Forgive my foul language. We gotta protect ourselves. They've been declared war on us, nigga. Monster. This is Monster Nation. Sean. Sean is on. America, huh?
You are now tuned in to episode 409, the 409 of Off the Cuff Radio. We steady hitting y'all over the head with these bangers, dope content, exclusive interviews, and we just getting started. I am your host, King Eric, and I have my other co-host, T-Max, with the facts in the building.
What it do? It's Friday night. OTC up in the building. Formula 409, an episode all the time. We here. We back again in another week of wonderfulness. Shout out to our co-host, North Carolina Sandman, Lady Chinchilla. We are sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Da Vinci Clothing, Jesse's Boutique, Core Financial, Dirty Basement, Radio. Man, we are back.
Yeah, you know what, though? Check this out. Now, there's a number on the line here, and it could be two possible numbers. So
okay.
It could be either our guest of the night or it could be one of our supporters. So what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to do two intros just for the price of one, just so I can get it out of the way and make whoever on the phone feel good.
Yeah.
Whoever calling for the 562, first of all, we appreciate you for supporting us over the years. Yes, we go over your
Long
head.
Long Beach. That's Long Beach
we
right there.
We go over your head every time when it comes to the wrestling cancel. And we gave you the name Black Power for a reason. But anyway, we appreciate you, bro, for supporting us and being down with us, even though we don't agree with everything, but it's all love, man. And tonight's guest, this is probably going to go down in one of my personal favorite interviews because this cat here, a part of the Boot Camp Clique, one half of the legendary Helter Skelter, and founder of the Monster Nation. So there, I gave two intros for the price of one. Which one of y'all is it? 562, you on.
Yo.
What it do?
Yo. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? I had to do two for the price of one because somebody had that same area code. He's a follower of our show, so I had to do two intros to make just in case he could feel good.
Right. I feel you. I got you. Yeah, but it's Monster Man Rocco, Boot Camp Flick, Helter Skelter, Monster Nation, Fab Five, all of the vintage classic shit. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yo,
man. This has been one of my favorite shows right here, man, because you've been, and that's just me saying it as a fan, but you know, you've been one of my favorites coming up, man, from when I heard you on Nocturnal, Magnum Force. Those were like the soundtrack of our teenage years right there. So we appreciate the contribution that you brought to the culture.
That's what's up. Appreciate y'all.
Man, look, this is a thrill, man, because, I mean, you know, you along with Wu-Tang, you know, Fat Joe, you know, all of y'all, OC, Nas, I mean, y'all really, really helped shape that 90s era hip-hop in terms of that golden era, man. I mean, and of course, you know, what y'all did with Helter Skelter collectively, you know, shout out to Smith and Wesson, you know, Tech and Steel, we interviewed them as well a few months back. You know, y'all made y'all, you know, introduction on their album, The Shine. And then, of course, y'all really got to shine when y'all dropped The Floor, Let's Fly, and Skoska. Dude, I remember when I first heard that, I was like, oh, my God, this shit is totally dope, man. I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. We were just kind of following the blueprint that was laid down before us. Like, you know, we saw Juice Crew, we saw, I don't know, BDP, so to speak, and Hit Squad before they split up and they was Def Squad and Hit Squad. You know, like the crew, you know, the rap super crew or super group followed a certain blueprint. And we were just, you know, like, it was like, you know, one group came out, you know, one artist came out, then another one, and, you know, and so on. And then they all of a sudden you had a whole movement on your hands. And we was just basically trying to do the same thing. We thought that was the way to do it until Wu-Tang. You know, Wu-Tang did it the other way. They brung the whole group, and then they split up, you know, did the solo shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they changed the game. They changed the game in that respect.
Right. What was it like in terms of just watching those groups come up in that time? Because you talked about the group, you know, the construct of it in terms of how everybody, you know, EPMD, of course, like you said, Def Squad, Hit Squad, you know, when they split, I mean, you know, what was that 90s era of hip-hop like in terms of you as a fan before you initially, you know, initially before you decided to make, you know, it a career?
Well, first of all, like Hit Squad broke up in, like, 90, between sometime in between 92, 93. I remember because
right.
I was locked up there at the time. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just never forget those dates that you was locked up, you know, those in dates and out dates, right? So I remember
right.
when my man showed me the, you know, the Source magazine that was highlighting, you know, that was covering the fact that they split up and shit, and that shit was heartbreaking because you never seen that before. Like, you know,
right.
Hit Squad,
right.
well, Goose Crew or BDP, they didn't have an official breakup. Like, you know, they just came out and they did their things, they branched off, and I don't ever, like, really remember no announcement that they was breaking up. But when the shit happened
right.
with Hit Squad, like, it was a big deal. I felt, you know, as an inmate and as a fan, I was just, like, I can remember myself sitting in the dorm, like, really, like, you know, what my feelings hurt about this shit. Like, what the fuck? Like, they had that picture with all of them. It was at the promenade. I believe it was the Brooklyn promenade and shit, where they all had their backs turned to the camera. Shit, that shit was fucking damn near a tearjerker. You know what I mean? So you felt that shit.
Yeah.
You saw that, you know, you as a fan, you appreciated and valued and looked up to that strength in numbers. You know, you see a crew of artists, you know, they keep adding chips to the fucking, you know, they keep adding pieces, you know, building blocks to their movement. You like, this shit is crazy. Like, you feel that shit. You feel them, it's hard to describe the feeling, but you hype off of this shit. Like, these niggas ain't playing. And then when that shit just, all of a sudden, when that shit ain't that shit no more, it's like, what, they breaking the what? So it's just like, what? Get the fuck out. Like, you know, it felt like, you know, like a breakup. You know, we the kid, like, you know, we would, you know, when you the kids and the parents is getting a divorce, that shit hurt. You don't know. You're like, what the fuck is this? You know what I'm saying? So that was that effect, like, you know, when in that era when all of those shit, like, you felt that shit like it was your family breaking up.
Yeah, man. And it's crazy because I have every issue of the Source since 1994. Now, this was the year before I started reading the Source, you know, exclusively, but I, you know, saw it in the past an issue, you know, rock. And the only thing that was crazier was them breaking up because, if memory serves me right, like you said, man, you know, it was during a time where you saw a lot of these crews, you know, there was never, like you said, breakups. It was just kind of like everybody amicably just moved on to the next phase of their career, but it was never like, you know, fuck you, nigga, we not doing this. But the article,
I mean, granted, NWA showed us a nice breakup and shit.
Thank,
you know,
thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. So that was NWA was the first, and then EPMD came next, and we were like, and when I read the situation behind EPMD, that was like, I mean, when they talk, I mean, the and you know, we can only speak on this, you know, because it was already documented. It was already put out there in an article. I mean, you're talking about, like, the money wasn't right, then niggas running up in niggas' houses and shit, and we were we was bugging, like, you
and
know.
The album was getting this temper personal. I was like, damn.
Yeah,
so
man.
I felt that as a fan, you know what I mean, like, a big fan of their movements. So I definitely felt it. Like, I was hurt. Like, I knew them niggas. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't.
Mm. And pretty
but
much.
Going
I mean,
on, but going it, off right quick, man. Like, you know, there's a lot been going on in 2021. And for people that already are familiar with you, tell us what you got going on in 2021 when it comes to projects. I know you're doing the Monster Nation podcast, which is pretty solid.
Yeah, it's actually called the Monster Mondays podcast. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's on Dash Radio, and Dash don't like it when we call it a podcast. So we'll just call it the Monster Mondays show for right now. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I got that going on. I'm finishing up. Like, I just finished up an album on an album. I got this album with my boy Ron Browse, super producer Ron Browse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ether
Boy.
The album is called, yeah, the Ether Boy. The album is called Ether Rocks. You know what I mean? And that's just about finished. We just basically like mixing, mastering, putting little bells and whistles on it. All the recording is, for the most part, is basically all finished and shit. I think we're going to record some skits and shit, but that shit will be out before this, you know, before September. And, you know, so we got that. I got another album I'm working on. It's the M3 album, stands for the Man, the Myth, the Monster. You get the three M's, the M3 album and all of that. But, you know, we got that. It's just a whole bunch of shit. I would ask that, you know, people stay focused on the next thing up, which is the Ether Rocks album and shit. That and the podcast, because that's going on right now. Everything else, you know, it'll be, you know, I'll be reminding you about all of that shit pretty much every time y'all hear from me or speak to me. But right now, it's the Ether Rocks album. This shit is stupid. You know what I mean? Me and Ron Browse, we came together. We started this album actually 3 years ago, but, you know, fucking, you know, like life hit us and then the pandemic hit us. And so, you know, it took, time flies, but you're going to get it now. And this shit is serious. It's serious. I really want niggas to check this out because it's like a coming out party for me. Coming out, pause. But it's like a stepping outside of the box party for me and my man Ron Browse. People look at Ron Browse and they think of Mr. Pop Champagne, and they forget about the fact that he did Issa, the fact that he did I Whoop Your Head Boy by 50 Cent, the fact that he did Ebonics by Big L and all of that. And, you know, people hear Rockness Monster and they think of all, you know, grimy boot camp shit, you know, grimy Brooklyn shit, and they don't understand the fact that I'm probably boot camp's fucking biggest party animal. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, I like to have fun too and shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't just like dirty, grimy beats. So it's both of us getting to step out of the box that people so-called put us in. And I think that's dope.
Hold on one second, guys. I got one of our co-hosts from back in the day, and he wanted to chime in for a bit. Illout of Sandman, what's up, brother? We got Rockness Monster from Helter Skelter in the building.
What it look like? How the brother?
Welcome to the winner circle. We all winners here.
I love it when niggas is up in tune with the new shit because. You know, I was just having a conversation with somebody literally about a few hours ago. It was like, you know, a lot of artists from the vintage era, like they may, you know, some people may call it old school. I like to refer to it as vintage. But, you know, the 90s era, whatever, like we perform, and a lot of the fans, they want to see us perform all of that 90s shit, and they don't really have an appreciation for all of the shit that we did since then. But, you know, that's how we meet. That's how we feed ourselves. That's the way we continue the legacy. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. I just want to say this, my dude. Like, I've definitely been a listener of your music ever since, man, Forget About It. One of my favorite albums is Magnum Force. You already know.
That's a piece, and that's 100. And I salute all of that. But I always, every artist, any artist, we always appreciate it a little bit more when, you know, when, whether it's the fan, whether it's the whoever, when they are at least in tune with what we're doing. You understand what I'm saying? So to come on here and y'all talking y'all winner circle shit, you know, y'all played America, huh, and all of that, that's a big deal because that's pushing the shit forward. Got a lot of niggas talking this
exactly.
Hip-hop is dead shit, talking this the state of the hip-hop. Hip-hop is fucked up. No, it ain't. It's just mainstream media is fucked up. But hip hop been alive and kicking the whole time. It's just, you know, the mainstream media don't pay attention to it, and they brainwash the people into thinking that the only thing that's out there is, you know, the niggas popping bottles,
what's coming,
money phones,
doing
drugs and dudes wearing dresses and man purses and shit like that. And that ain't it. You know what I'm saying? That ain't it. It's other shit out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we wanted to play that record, man,
too,
because it's volumes to what's going on currently, man. And that it's a very important record that needs to be heard.
Which one?
America, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I let my heart bleed on that one right there. And I still find, and I still like to find the space to throw some bars in there too. But the point is to say something like I intentionally said something important in that shit, because I don't know, you know, I don't listen to a lot of hip hop, so I don't know how many people spoke about what I spoke about from that angle or whatever, but fuck that. It don't matter. It was on my heart, and I needed to say it because shit crazy out here, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that it is. That it is. And one thing about it, man, is that, you know, a lot of times people, you know, to see that you are a distinguished veteran, and not only a veteran, but a certified legend in the game, Bob, to see that you, you know, have always maintained a social conscience is refreshing in the game, because a lot of artists, you know, especially today, some of the newer artists, they don't really have that pulse on what's going on in society. But for you to articulate it in such fantastic form with a ferocious flow about your feelings of what's going on is something that is needed. It is essential. You know, that's the water of wisdom that grows, you know, the next generation.
You got a lot of artists that's, you know, like they eat off of mainstream America. They control by that shit. You know, you got mainstream America pays their bills. Mainstream America don't necessarily pay my bills. They may give me some chump change here and again, but the underground pay my bills. You know what I mean? Like it's underground that support me. So I could say what I want. You know what I mean? I could be true to myself, and you know, and I would say what I wanted anyway. That's probably the reason. You know, like, the industry is the industry, and, you know, like, a lot of times the fans and some, as well as some of the, a lot of the artists, they get this shit twisted. They, like, this ain't our music industry. Hip-hop is our music, but this ain't our music industry. So, you know, the people who control this industry control the message. So it's hard to get a message out there that's going against the establishment. So luckily, you know, I'm a nigga who got real respect to people. You know, I don't rap to the dumb, deaf, and blind. Like, I rap to people who got common sense, and you know, and that demographic is growing. You understand what I'm saying? Like, in real life, like the 5% nation, you know, 5%. The term 5%er used to represent the woke community. It was like 5% of all of us who actually are aware of the fuckery. I'm speaking in layman terms right now. In my personal opinion, I feel like that percentage has grown. You know what I mean? It's probably up to 20, 30, maybe 35, you know what I'm saying, percent, maybe even 40. Because, you know, like, times is changing. Like, the, you know, shit is being revealed. And, you know, with that being said, that then my, you know, the audience for my message is growing. You know what I mean? So I don't have to placate to mainstream America. If I make a song, which I do have songs about, like I got a song off the M3 album called Bartender, where it's me in the club having a fucking ball. It ain't nothing hardcore about this. Well, I mean, my bars is always hard because I don't know how not to rhyme hard. But it ain't nothing like cool or woke about the song, but I did the song because I wanted to do the song, because I heard the beat and the hook and I felt it, not because I wanted to fit in. It's not because I wanted to make a radio song. You understand what I'm saying? Not because I want to play the game. Like, I don't have to do that. I did that because that's a piece of me. But when it comes down to all of the renegade shit that I'm going to talk, all of the revolutionary shit, all of the half ignorant, half woke shit that I'm gonna talk, like the audience for that is growing. It was only it used to be only 5% of the population that was interested in that, but I honestly feel like that percentage has grown. So fuck it, that made my money grow, and I'm gonna keep doing it.
That's what it is.
I want to ask you about this, right? With that video that you and Sean Price, you already know, you know. Rest in peace with Surprise. You already know that. That video that y'all did, where y'all was dressed like the Mohicans and the Indians, like one of the most creative videos ever. Like, how did y'all go about that? Like, what gave y'all the idea to basically be Mohicans and Indians and stuff like that? What gave y'all that idea?
Well, in all honesty, that idea came from Buckshot and Drew High. I'm not sure if it was Buckshot and Drew. I'm not sure if it was Buckshot and Drew High or if it was Drew High and Buckshot. But it came from them two. You know, I mean, we originally shot another video for that song. And we didn't like the video, long story short. Like, you know, we had paid a lot of money for that video. And, you know, like, we paid for all kind of special effects. And what they gave us was camera tricks. And we just felt like camera tricks and special effects ain't the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's a difference. And so what we did, we scrapped that video and we did another one. You know what I mean? In all honesty, like, the whole concept came from Drew High and Buckshot. You know what I mean? I don't know what gave them the idea, but that's probably an interview you should have for one of them. But they gave it to us, and we loved it, and we ran with it. Because, you know, me and Sean Price, being, like I said, like, we had knowledge of self at an early age, so we knew. Like, you know, how do I go into this without fucking running on? We knew the significance of the, you know, all right, we understand that all of us, all of the black people in this country ain't from Africa. We knew that then. You understand? We knew, you know, we understand, we were well-read enough to know that some of us were here before the slave trade. You understand what I'm saying? And even so, that being said, like, all of that is us. So when Drew High and Buckshot came to us with that idea, we was with the shits, and we just ran with it. It didn't take much convincing at all. We just ran with the shit because, aside from all of that shit, we knew that it would look nice. You know, visually, I knew that it would be dope. You know what I mean? I like colors in videos. I don't particularly like black and white videos. I love color. Even though I have some black and white videos and photos, but I prefer the color ones.
That's what it is. I mean,
that song came out in summer 96. I call it Bloody Summer 96 because that was where you had all these crazy releases and everything was going into a different swing. And that made you guys stand out, even to us.
That video around that time, that video was just like one of a kind. Because nobody knows no type of video like that. But, you know, he's at the bonfire.
We was always willing to go against the grain because as a crew, ourselves. Like, we would have, like, in our mind, we was the coolest shit going. Like, I don't give a fuck what came out. It was something about it that we could make fun of. We didn't feel like we had that with us. We felt like we was the kings of cool. Without saying that, we felt like we was the coolest shit going. You understand what I'm saying? So we didn't have no problem with being silly in a La Fly Skull Sky video. We didn't have no problem with showing that side of ourselves because we felt like we didn't need to prove to you we was tough because we believed we really was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's like one of the main things I loved about Magnum Force when it came to you guys, skits and interludes, like the dude, like, yo, with the three keys. I know, who that man?
Niggas were talking about real keys, nigga, house keys, right? Because that wasn't, like, me and Ruck wasn't on no fucking drug dealer shit. That wasn't our shit. That wasn't no helter-skelter shit. We did it, but we was around it. So we played with the idea, you know? It's just fun.
Sean P, he picked up the keys, like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, now, talk. Hold up now.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, man, crazy, you know, because, like I said, I've been listening to your music heavy for, like, forever, you know what I mean? I don't give a fuck. I'm walking out. You know what I'm saying? You've always been, a hero to me as a youngin'. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Always listening to your music and Sean P, you know what I'm saying? So it's just an honor for you to join us on Open Stuff Radio.
And I appreciate it, bro. Real talk. Because I'm still out here doing it.
I will say this. If you listen to Sandman's music, I could tell there was some inspiration of your flow in there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's a little bit. That aggressiveness, that aggression.
That's dope. That's dope. I appreciate it.
Like,
I got that.
I ain't having that shit. Yo, shit goes down. Time to show up, it's a showdown.
Deep game. Like, all of this shit, I could tell you where all of this shit came from that I do. There was four niggas on the East Coast, and there was four niggas on the West Coast. I say this every chance I get. I want to get them brothers they props. Four niggas on the East Coast was Kane, Rakim, G-Rap, and KRS-One. They gave me all of the flow I needed to build off of. And the four niggas on the West Coast was Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, MC Ren, and Eazy-E. They gave me all
NWA.
The aggression and attitude that I needed. Absolutely. Those were my biggest influences. Those were my building blocks. And then after that, you know, to give the niggas like Redman, Method Man, and Busta Rhymes, them get them they roses too. They helped me develop, you know, fine-tune some of my shit, you know what I'm saying? Because they was tall, high-energy, aggressive rappers. And, you know, those were things that those are all things that are true about myself. And, you know, and as a youngin' in this game, it was like, how do I, you know, navigate? Like, you know, I'm wild tall. Most of my friends is short. So it was all shit that I learned from those dudes. Like how do I, what do I do with all this length and all of this shit? And I learned from the niggas, and they helped me perfect my shit. So props to all of them niggas. You know what I'm saying?
One thing about it, Rock, when you mentioned Kool G Rap, and that touches me especially because Kool G is like my favorite MC of all time. I don't think that man gets enough props for how he influenced. You know, I mean, that man just, that nigga just like totally influenced.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of us are sons of G-Rap.
Yeah, man, I mean, you know, and when you think about it, I mean, when you, you know, tell us about, you know, from the genesis, you know, from the nascent, you know, when you started picking up that pen to write in terms of, you know, how it, you know, from that very beginning of, obviously, you just said about who influenced you. You know, tell us about those early writing sessions in terms of really developing your style, you know, and then ultimately, you know, how you would eventually, you know, become the legend you are today. And I mean, did you know when you came on the scene that you were a part of that flowing history of all these legendary music that would come out during that time?
Nah, you had no idea. There was no way to know that you would be, you know, that you was going to be part of something that would be talked about forever. You hoped it. You know, it was something you wanted, but you didn't know. You know, by that time, we had already seen a lot of rappers come and go, so it was no way to really know.
Right. Right. So tell us about those writer sessions. How did you end up getting, you know, how did the group Helter Skelter form? How did y'all end up getting on Duck Down? I mean, and, you know, everything else. I mean, what was it like in those early days?
Well, you know, like, obviously we were friends from the street first. You know what I mean? Me and Pete knew each other since we were kids, but we wasn't friends. Like, our mothers knew each other. But then we linked up later on through our friends in high school. Like, I got kicked out of my first high school, went to a second high school, and I ended up in the same homeroom class with a nigga that, if that nigga knew how to rhyme, him and Ruck would have been a group. They were close, like that. You know what I mean? But he didn't rap. But he was in my homeroom, so he led me to Ruck. You know what I mean? And so we ran with each other doing dumb shit, doing street shit at first. And then eventually, you know, we just, you know, it was like, yo, come on, B. Like, we should be a group. And, like, he had a partner and I had a partner. But, you know, it was like it was clear to see that this made the most sense. So, you know, we slowly but surely eased around to that. You know what I mean? But I was already running with Tekken Steel, and Tekken Steel was already running with Buckshot. So the pieces just came together naturally, slowly but surely.
Lord, shots go out to Boot Camp, man, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but when we think about it from, you know, late 92, early 93, you know, with Who Got the Props, you know, with Black Moon, you know, and then y'all would come like a year. I mean, because one thing about it with Duck Down when they came in, Rock, was just this crazy, like, you know, because we're all children of that era, you know, so we're seeing, so in that 90s era, hip-hop is still, you know, in that non-corporate, you know, kind of underground phenomenon. You know, it hasn't, you know, if you were really into the culture, you were with it. And Black Moon, you know, what Duck Down did, you know, they really, really, I think at that time, epitomized the essence of what underground was. You know, I mean, you know, into the stage drop.
Truth be told, Black Moon and Smith & Wesson both got raped on their first albums on Nervous Records. So it's like, while the people didn't realize that the corporate fuckery was happening already, it was, I mean, the hip-hop, it was in effect already. Hip-hop contracts are designed to fuck rappers. You know what I mean? The word didn't start getting out till later. But, you know, it was why Black Moon and Smith & Wesson only put one album out on Nervous Records. And then they started to move towards getting their own label because they was already getting raped.
Man, pretty much what did you learn from those early days? Because obviously, like you said, you were privy to all of it, especially being, you know, because you were close to those guys. So you saw everything develop as it did. In terms of contracts back then and now, what did you notice in terms of how business was conducted in terms of certain things artists back then didn't know and what artists need to know now that they may not know?
I learned that the whole shit is rigged against you as an artist. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, as an artist, as the word, when it comes to the word, be the word fair, you know what I'm saying? Something being fair. Shoot yourself in the head when it comes down to the rap industry. Because ain't none of this shit fair. Like, the contract is designed to fuck you. So, like, the independent game is the best thing that ever happened, where it's like, all right, you going independent, you might not be a superstar, but if you work hard, you can be handsomely rewarded for your efforts. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Whereas if you fuck with a label, you can become a superstar and still not be handsomely rewarded for your shit. You know what I'm saying? You just won't be a household name, but you might still be broke. You're going to have people running around. Everybody in the streets know who you are, but you can't afford to buy a round of drinks for your crew. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, everybody said, it's a celebration, bitches. Round the house, around for everybody. You can't do that. You can't do that. You know what I mean? But on some independent shit, you know, it's different. So, you know, you just learn. That's the biggest lesson you learn. You don't want, if you lucky enough to become comfortable with not being a super duper star, and you just like, you know what, I want to get my point across, and I want to eat off of getting my point across. I want to fucking support myself by doing what I love. Lovely in this shit, you know what I'm saying? And that wasn't possible back then because niggas didn't know how to do it. It wasn't, niggas didn't even.
It wasn't like a platform, you know, like nowadays. You know, around that time before, we had to go on the street corners and freestyle and battle to get heard. Nowadays, all you gotta do is turn on your computer.
Right.
And when you look at it, too, that pretty much, you know, from a historical context, the only other rapper I can think of in the 90s that was really doing it independent at that level was, of course,
Master
Too
P.
Short started it. Master P,
he was one.
And Too Short,
like late
of course, 90s. E-4. And, of course, E-40. It was sick with it because he had a distribution deal with Jive. But that was just in terms of what he paid for distribution. But in terms of everything else, all that was his, you know, in terms of, you know, him putting together the product. You know, shout out to Sugar T, Be Legit, D-Shot, you know, all of them, you know, what they were doing out in the Bay.
Right.
And, of course, like you said, what he was doing, because with No Limit, yeah.
Yeah, that was around the time when everybody was on the please listen to my demo space. Like, we people just wanted to get their voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yep. Y'all here?
Train going
by.
Ain't know what that was.
Hello? Yeah, we just checking. Everybody here? Okay, perfect.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, King. What were you saying? Go ahead, King.
Yeah, I was saying that this was around the time where a lot of people were just wanting to be heard because Yeah, if you wanted to be heard, you were guaranteed to be a, get a slot on TV. You will get a big MTV and BET push. You'll be a household name. But at the same time, your pockets ain't going to feel like $1 million. You got $1 million name, but you ain't got $1 million in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, to this day, like, I mean, like, yo, like, you put out a rap album and they give you points on the album. Like that a point, like, points, like you get amount of points, that shit equal pennies on the dollar. Like, niggas was selling albums back in my day for $16. You could get a CD. A CD, of course, you could get $16.
Right.
And
And
the rapper didn't even make a whole dollar off of this shit. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, that was the coldest robbery ever, B. Coldest robbery ever. It was just set up for you to fail. So, you know, like, who, fuck that, B. Like, you know what I mean? If any artist, I say this to any artist trying to come up in the game, you know, a lot of them, like, they haven't caught on yet. Everybody still wants to get signed. If you could get signed to a one-album deal or a two-album deal or some shit like that, I would say do it. Because when you get to my age, you don't understand. 2 years equal 5 minutes to you. That shit go by faster than a motherfucker, right? But if you a natural, if you got this shit in your bones, in your veins, you can get these niggas this album or two and then be gone, because they're going to make only, like, whatever money they invest in you, they're going to, only way for them to get that money back is off of your record sales, unless you sign a 360 deal. Then they're going to want it off your shows, your everything, right? Your merch, all this shit, which is crazy. Well, it's not that crazy, because technically, Duck Down, we did that before the 360, because Duck Down was our label and our management, but that was because we was all homeboys and we didn't trust nobody. So it was like, listen, ain't nobody going to do this but us. You know what I'm saying? But if you in that predicament and you only got, like, you know, if you could get a one-album, two-album deal and be able to secure yourself some kind of control, then I wouldn't be against getting a deal, because what they're going to do is make you, you know, with that label push, they're going to make you, you know, they're going to make your face famous, and that's currency. You know, fame is currency. A lot of people don't look at it like that, but if you know how to hustle, then your fame is worth money. You can use that shit to leverage you all kind of new shit. Like, that's why Cam and, you know, Dipset and a lot of dudes, you know, 50 Cent, like niggas take that major label buzz and they go independent and do well, because what the label, the one thing that the label can rape you, it can rob you, but one thing it can't do is take away your fame that they already gave you. They can't unfamous you. You understand what I'm saying? So you can use that and leverage that into, you know what I'm saying? So if you get a quick situation, a little quick in and out situation that you feel like serve you, then do it. You know what I mean? But get the fuck out of there quick. Get out of there and do your own shit, because these niggas is raping and robbing. You know what I mean? And that just is what it is.
That's what I was about to ask you, like, because, you know, contracts, you know, some contracts that have, like, years, like, how long you can be with that particular label for how many years. So, like, what's your stance on that?
I don't know what they offer. I don't know what they offering niggas these days, because I ain't been looking for a deal in over 20 years. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, if you could do something quick, then do something quick. You know what I mean? Let them give you all of the push they're going to give you, and then bust a move.
I would say that, I would ask you this, though, right? What if a person basically got, you know, the big fan base already? He or she is popping on TikTok, SoundCloud, Apple, what may have you. Should they still sign that same deal? I was asking, what if that post, you get it? Can you hear me now?
Uh-huh. I can hear you.
I was asking, basically, what if the particular person was popping, like, on a TikTok or SoundCloud, Apple, whatever the case may be. They got a lot. They got a big fan base. What the hell? Y'all can hear me? It's mad loud.
My bad, y'all.
I just walked past this restaurant. Shit is, they got all the Dominican shit going crazy, right?
I ain't know what to say. That's what I was like, get this phone, make sure nobody working. We talking some heavy
stuff. That shit
stuff.
Got different just now.
All right, so I'm gonna sum it up. It's a short question. Like the artist, like basically, would you say that same thing for artists that's been out there, like a TikTok, SoundCloud, Apple, whatever case may be, that has a big following? Would you tell them to make that same deal?
Yeah, if they can, if they could secure it. You know what I mean? But,
because,
I mean, like, don't...
Because they already have the audience, right? That's the reason why I asked.
Yeah,
they already have the audience. What would they need the label for if they already have the audience?
I mean, even if you already have the audience, like I said, it still don't make a difference. Like I said, if you could secure a situation that works for in relation to what I just said, then it don't matter because you got an audience, but your audience ain't as big as the audience that label going to get you. Labels should actually like what I'm saying. I'm giving them a shot because in real talk, niggas is like in real talk, niggas is moving away from the label. It's like niggas is able to do it on their own. Like I said, if
yeah,
you don't give
yeah,
a fuck,
that's,
you
know, that's why I asked that. That's why I asked that.
Yeah,
because people is, you know, with social media and all that, people's actually doing it themselves.
Yeah, like I said, it all depends on how big your ego is, what you want out of this shit, how much fame, like. You know, you got some, like a lot of people, they be dying for fame until they get it, right? They get it and they can't handle fame. You got some people who may put more thought into it before they go that route. You know what I mean? It's like, and once you look at, you know, you look at what's going on now, you see how fame affects some people in a negative manner, and you like, you know what? If it was me, I would just want to do this, that, and the third.
Yeah, and as well, you know, Rob, because when we look, because what you said about, you know, how you, you know, how you haven't, you know, had to look for a deal in over 20 years, and I think about guys, you know, like the Lox, you know, who pretty much are independent now, you know, when you look at Cormega, you know, when years ago, because of course we all know the story about what happened at Def Jam, and what happened with Testament when that was recorded, you know, I know, you know, rest in peace. You know, to Chris Lighty, you know, this is not shading him. It's just, it's very well known that him and Mega didn't particularly like him because he felt like, you know, he felt like Chris didn't believe in his vision. And Mega was like, you know, and when he decided to start Legal Hustle, you know, it's like the record ended up blowing up when he did it on Land Speed, you know, and he did like, I think like 150,000 copies. And he was one of those guys. Yeah, go ahead, King.
Yeah, I was saying that's because at the end of the day, you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe
right.
And bet on yourself, and he already had an audience.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and it's like when the album dropped, when the realness dropped, we were like, yo. And it's like, you know, and this is before social media, you know, like really, you know, this is 2001. You know, when Master Ace dropped Disposable Arts on J-Core, one of the dopest albums he's ever done. You know, and a hell of an expensive one if you can find it today.
Hello?
But it showed.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear us? Can you hear us?
I lost y'all.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Hello? Hello?
Can y'all hear me?
Can we hear you? Yeah, we can hear you.
How much did y'all hear? What I was saying was, I was just saying basically, if you could find that situation that, you know, that's agreeable. Like I said, what I'm saying right now, this is my own analysis. And, you know, in a week from now, I might have a debate or discussion with somebody who might be able to tell me something that I didn't know. And I'm like, you know what, that makes sense.
Hello? King, we got him?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, he's still
okay.
On the line. I think he's trying to get through.
Okay. Oh. We just got to get him back in.
A Sandman's call got dropped. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still on, so hopefully he get. Yeah, we still got him on. So hopefully we can hear him when he gets back on, when he gets back to his square. Because he was moving around.
Right. Yeah, we just chop it up until, you know, he get back in, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, we can hear you.
Did y'all hear me? Did y'all hear everything I said? I don't know how I keep going to hold or some shit like that. Did I cut out?
You cut out a little bit.
You said, last thing you said, like, if you can find a situation that is agreeable, you said if you might have a debate with somebody if it makes sense. Yeah, go from there.
Right. So, like, if I might have a conversation with somebody tomorrow, and they may say, they may give me some useful information that I may not know or whatever, but as of right now, I stand by what I said. If you could get in and get out and take their promotion and leave with it, do it. But just know independent is what you want to be eventually.
Yeah.
That's a fact, brother. Hey, and to go on for a minute, man, I mean, this is where a part of where we want our audience to know the importance behind what this man brought to the table in terms of lyricism and far in terms of content and in terms of his stock in the hip-hop history. We want to talk about your brother, Sean Price, and what he meant to the culture and hip-hop, because we have a young audience, and we want people to know from your standpoint how much did he mean to the game and how we sorely miss him.
I mean, P was the illest nigga ever. Like, I say that, it's easy to say that, but, you know, any youngin' who, if you Google P, if you go down the Sean Price rabbit hole, then you will see all kind of testimonies from people of how, talking about how hilarious he was, how kind he was, how foul he was.
Hello? You cut out a bit, Rock. King, we got him?
Yeah, he cut out a little bit. He should be back in a little bit. But I wanted to bring that up about Price, man, because that was one solid dude.
Yeah, he was, man. I mean, you figure the impact that he still has today is still so profound in terms of, you know, you know, there's never going to be another like Sean Price. I mean, that's just what it is, man. You know,
I remember when I seen him around in 2000, I think it was 2004, 2005, and they was about to start recording for the Monkey Bars album. Saw him at the Crabtree Mall, big dude. And we just did the head nod and kept it moving, but I was like, yo, that's the legendary Sean Price.
Hello?
Yeah, you back, bro.
All right. Yeah, my battery is dying. My phone's tripping. Can y'all still hear me?
We can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
So, yeah, he rapped better than all you motherfuckers. He was funnier than all you motherfuckers. At the same time, he was the type of the nigga who gave me his shirt off his back so I could throw up in because I was drunk. You know what I mean? Like, good dude. Like, real talk. You could take two Sean P-isms and, like, you could take two Sean P slogans and run your life with them. One of them is, don't hate on nobody, don't wait on nobody. Another one is, if you can't be used, you useless. You could take he had tons of them. If you take could take those two and navigate your life right now. Real talk.
Man, we talked about E-40 with his slang, but it's like, you know, Sean Price had his own. We really could have used that Sean Price book of isms, man, because, I mean, that's some, those phrases you just said were powerful right there.
I got my own set of isms, but that ain't up for me to give them to you. I give you one. If you don't change nothing, ain't nothing going to change, right? That's one.
That's
right?
True.
But on some
that's true.
Like P, tons of them, you know what I mean? And any two or three of them could get you through the next 20 years of your life, can assist you.
Mm.
So listen, yo, brothers, my phone is dying. I'm out in the street. right now.
Okay.
And I don't know how much time we got left. So
it's all good, bro. It's all good. We chopped it up for a
look,
good
welcome
hour,
back
man.
Anytime. You're welcome back anytime.
No doubt. I'm on the East Coast now. Listen, holla at me like I'm here. Like I'm about spreading this message. You know what I'm saying? Like I was all, you know, through the 90s, I was all about spreading this gutter shit. You know, I'm evolved and I'm grown, and you know, my gutter shit has evolved. It's a message that I'm all for sharing. Like, you know, I'm all for progression now. So, you know, at any given time, we could do this again. We could do this whenever.
Definitely,
bro. Definitely, man. I mean, it's an honor for you to join us, man. And we're going to probably set something up for the coming month in August. Definitely welcome to come back home because there's a lot of gems you give us.
Hey, yo, once again, I apologize for all of the, you know, all of the this is the sounds of Brooklyn right now. I mean, I'm walking through East New York on the side where it gets Spanish, where it gets Latin. And life has a soundtrack. I've always said that. You're hearing Brooklyn's soundtrack right now.
No problem, jefe. Gracias.
Yeah, man, we're going to definitely set that up for next month. We're going to have a part two coming, brother.
Yeah, let's do it when the new album come out. Ether Rocks will be out in August. Rockin' is Austin and Ron Brad.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's talk about the album when it drops. Let's do it again.
All right.
Definitely.
So, yeah, so on that note, we out of here. Big shout out to you, my man. And we will be back
love
here Sunday.
Love to man. I appreciate that. Appreciate the opportunity and look and all of that. We here. We can do this whenever.
Definitely.
Most brother.
All right, y'all have a good one. To all listening, take care. Appreciate y'all. Y'all could have been anywhere in the world, but y'all here with us. Rock on, rock on.
Definitely. And King, before we sign off, we do have to give acknowledgement, man, in terms of giving our,
hold on, we
you
got
know,
a, I think
our,
we got a caller on the line right here. We got a 757 caller. From your
yo.
Area.
Yo.
Vizo, that's you?
Yo.
Yeah, that's me.
What's up, man? What's going on?
What's going on? How y'all doing?
We're good. What's going on with you, man?
Nothing much. I just, you know, called in just to hear the interview and everything, man. Y'all did an excellent job. Y'all did a great job, man. I'm happy for y'all. I'm proud of y'all, man. That was a great job and stuff. And I told you, you know, he's cool. You know, definitely, you know, hit him up again. And he going to drop more gems, man. But, you know, that was a great interview, really good interview.
Man, look, we appreciate it, man. I mean, we appreciate you for the alley-oop, man. And, I mean, look, King, you know Bezo about to hit it on the next level because, you know, he had an interview with Soledad O'Brien last week, man. So Bezo is, like, going up like elevators, man.
Yeah, man. But I'm still humbled enough, man, just to listen to y'all, man, and whatever context, whatever – I have, you know, whatever I could do, I'll, you know, put y'all on to it. Some future stuff I got going on, and I will toss a, you know, a few more alley-oops to you. I talked to you guy from Wu. He told me to give him about like a month or two to do that. I talked to a boxer from Jersey named Dylan Price, his peoples. I'm doing an interview there, so I'll see if I can kind of push that, you know, to you as well too. Appreciate the Sky Zoo. I'm supposed to do Sky Zoo pretty soon. So yeah, you know, definitely, you know, we all family, man. Just whatever I've got, boom, whatever you got, boom, and there it is.
That's what it's all about, man.
Definitely.
It's about making sure every other platform do well. It ain't about competing, it's about eating.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm a big fan of y'all, man, and just keep on grinding, man. Thomas tell me that, C-Mac tell me that all the time. Keep grinding. Don't give up. It's hard, but keep grinding.
Definitely, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm about to head up out of here, man. I got to charge this phone up, too. I think we've given so much heat that it done messed our batteries up.
Definitely. But before we go to, we do got to give out our condolences, you know, our blessings, our love and respect for the loss of Biz Markie, man. You know, rest in peace, legend.
Man.
You know,
nobody beats Biz. Nobody.
Man, always and forever, man. Biz is going to be, you know, he's going to be that dude, man, you know. So it's,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
why we do, that's why you do what you do, that's why we do what we do, because not only is it part of, you know, giving information, but it's also documenting history and giving much love and respect to our legends while they're here. So,
indeed.
You know, as long as Bezo Niss, you know, Paige Turner Entertainment, Off the Cuff Radio, Screwball Radio is here, we all collectively are going to be, you know, careful curators and repositories of all things relevant to the culture, making sure that those bouquets of greatness are always bestowed upon, you know, those that are with us.
Indeed.
And on that note, I guess, you know, we out until next week. We thank y'all. God bless. Tune in next week. We got another terrific, you know, time lined up for y'all. So let's get it on the next hit.
Yes, sir.
And we out.
We bar.
Peace.
Y'all.